Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 44 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Ellen Barnett.
They went straight to the grand jury, so you won't have a district case.
A woman from Hillsboro is accused of stealing $250,000 from a Moorhead business.
Police are looking for information about a theft at a volunteer fire department.
The Senate is considering a bill that would put a cap on workers' comp payments.
Kentucky's Attorney General joined educators protesting Senate pension reform.
Rowan County's Board of Education will hold a closed meeting tonight to discuss the search for a new superintendent.
In sports, it's a battle of the Wildcats as UK faces off with Kansas State tonight in Atlanta.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Clear skies with a low of 25 degrees. Tonight, stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
A Hillsboro woman has been formally charged for allegedly stealing more than $240,000. Kentucky State Police say 39-year-old Lori Back took the money from Moorhead Primary Care while she was working as an employee at the facility. Trooper Scott Farrell says the investigating officer decided to take the case straight to the grand jury.
It speeds the process up. If we go to district, by the time you get to court date, sometimes it can take up to, you know, 6-7 months before you can even get it into court, where we can call the Commonwealth attorney and he'll tell us just to bring it straight to him and we can get it in court quicker.
If convicted of the theft, Back could face up to 10 years in prison. Farrell says no patient accounts were affected by the theft.
Former Prestonsburg Mayor Jerry Fannin plans to enter an Alford plea in federal court. According to LAX 18, Fannin is accused of diverting city money and services to the former East Kentucky Drillers football franchise while he was mayor. The Alford plea functions as a guilty plea but allows the defendant to maintain their innocence. Fannin's attorney says he has no memory of the time period due to lingering effects from a stroke. He is likely to get probation.
One person is dead following a wreck on the Mountain Parkway in Powell County. Kentucky State Police say 39-year-old Lisa Hurley of Salyersville struck a commercial vehicle operated by 71-year-old Alvin Appleby. Appleby was attempting to make a U-turn across the median when he was hit. Hurley was transported to Clark Regional Hospital, where she was pronounced dead. The incident remains under investigation.
Two people have been arrested following a dog mauling in Greenup County. According to WSAZ, 27-year-old Joseph Lyons Jr. and 34-year-old Heather Kidd were taken into custody. Both are charged with first-degree criminal abuse of a child and tampering with physical evidence after a dog under their care attacked a 5-year-old girl. The victim has since been released from the hospital. Lyons and Kidd are housed in the Greenup County Detention Center.
A volunteer fire department in Madison County has been left without some essential equipment after a theft Tuesday night. The Waco Fire Department says someone broke into the station between 9:30 and on Tuesday and 11 a.m. on Wednesday, taking a Skill K-12 saw, steel chainsaws, a steel leaf blower, a Honda generator, a Titan industrial generator, and a K-45 thermal imaging camera, a MIG welder, and a stick welder. The Madison County Police Department is investigating and ask anyone with information about the missing items should call 859-642-4776.
Crew members at the Grayson Fire Department have had a busy and unusual week. WMKY's Cody Robinson has the story.
The past few days gave the Grayson Fire Department two fires to deal with and an animal to rescue. Chief Greg Felty tells the Journal Times crews used a ladder truck to help release a seagull caught in a light fixture outside Ralph's Food Fair Saturday. The seagull immediately flew away after Lieutenant Chase Felty helped it escape. Firemen also responded to a fire in an unoccupied residence this week. Felty says the fire was likely caused by electrical issues and was not suspicious. Crews were called again Monday about smoke coming from the Shangri-La Motel and Restaurant. Damage was limited to the motel office section of the building. The cause of the fire has yet to be determined. No injuries were reported from either of the fires. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Cody Robinson.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Carter Judge Executive Mike Malone believes his county will get some assistance from the Federal Emergency Management Agency to help pay for some extensive public infrastructure damage caused by recent flooding. Carter is one of 18 Eastern Kentucky counties noted by the state in its disaster aid request to FEMA. Malone says one bridge was badly damaged, while the high water also created 26 road slippages. He notes that many of those highways will need to be restabilized with some heavy-duty rocks.
Class 3 or Class 2 limestone, which is those really big rocks that are about the size of a person's torso. And you may have to put in steel cribbing and T-rail or I-beams, one or the other, to all the way down into the rock to hold it back. So really, until you dig it out, you can't really tell for sure. But I'd say at minimum, it's going to be $500,000, and it could cost as much as $750,000.
Malone says some of the roads are so badly damaged that they are in danger of becoming impassable. Officials from FEMA visited Carter County a couple of days ago to assess the damage.
More work will be done tonight to find a new superintendent for the Rowan County school system. During a special board meeting at 5:30, the screening committee will sift through the resumes received for the post and will narrow down that list even further. Board Chairman Rick Whalen heads to the screening panel. According to Whalen, the 16 applicants for the post have diverse backgrounds.
There's some existing superintendents. There's some that want to be superintendents. There's some from the private sector that have applied. So it's been a wide range, which has kind of been surprising to me, but it's also been good because that just gives you different perspectives from different areas of business, which is a good thing.
Whalen says the screening committee wants to name Rowan's new superintendent by May 1st so that person can have several weeks to work with current superintendent Marvin Moore, who retires on June 30th.
Rowan officials are preparing for the opening of the county's new $18 million detention center. The facility is expected to be ready to start holding prisoners in mid-May. Jailer Wes Coldiron has been hiring additional staff members to work in the 275-bed facility, which is more than three times the size of the county's current lockup. Judge Executive Walter Blevin says Coldiron will likely add six more employees in the next few weeks, with the plan then to get them all trained on the workings of the new detention center.
The problem they've got is it's hard to train when you're the construction people, they won't let us in until the thing is ready, because they don't want to. They're under their workers' comp, they're under their accident policies, and they're going to be very hard pressed to let us in earlier than that.
Blevin says it will likely take a few months for Rowan County to fill all of the 275 beds in its new jail, which should give Coldiron the time he needs to get his staff properly trained.
Republican lawmakers in Frankfort have given final approval to a bill that would limit how much money outside attorneys make while representing the state in legal fights. The bill cleared the House on Thursday and goes to Governor Matt Bevin for approval. Democratic Attorney General Andy Beshear says the bill will limit his ability to recruit outside attorneys to represent the state in complex lawsuits. Under the bill, attorney's fees would be capped at 20% of a settlement or judgment up to $10 million. Fee percentages would shrink for amounts above $10 million.
The state legislature is now considering a bill that would cap the amount of time injured workers could receive workers' compensation. House Bill 2 was passed by the Senate Committee on State and Local Government yesterday. It would require employers to pay benefits to workers with permanent partial disabilities for 15 years. Afterwards, injured workers would have to apply for two-year extensions. The bill is facing opposition from multiple groups. Skyler Gradick is a Louisville police officer. He says officers are regularly injured on duty.
I have 20 more years left of service before I can retire. I came to terms with my mortality a long time ago. Getting injured is a guarantee. Getting into shooting these days is a matter of when and not if. This issue is as important to us as our pensions and our line of duty death benefits.
Proponents of the bill say it will make the Commonwealth more attractive to companies who may want to move to Kentucky. It would apply only to future workers' compensation claims. It would not apply to workers with permanent total disabilities like amputations, blindness, or loss of hearing. House Bill 2 will now be considered by the full Senate.
Kentucky's Attorney General joined hundreds of the state's teachers yesterday in protesting the Senate's pension reform proposal. Haley Hansen reports.
I will see them in court.
Speaking through a bullhorn to hundreds of teachers, Attorney General Andy Beshear called Senate Bill 1 illegal because it breaks a law that guarantees public workers, quote, a good retirement.
Senate Bill 1 violates that contract. It not only breaks a promise and breaks a contract, folks, it breaks the law.
Beshear promised if it were to pass, he would challenge it in court. I'm Haley Hansen.
Frustrated with repeated delays costing taxpayers millions of dollars, the Kentucky Senate has voted to effectively end a project that would bring high-speed internet capability to one of the poorest states in the country. Officials in Republican Governor Matt Bevin's administration warn it would likely cost more to kill the project than if they would finish it. That's because the state could be responsible for paying $286 million payoff loan to Macquarie Capital, the Australian-based venture capital firm that, along with its partners, has contract to install a network of more than 3,000 miles of fiber optic cables touching all of Kentucky's 120 counties. It's just one of multiple differences lawmakers will have to sort out as they head into the weekend of tense negotiations over how to spend more than $73 billion of state and federal tax dollars over the next 2 years. The broadband project requires the state to make annual payments of about $30 million to its private sector partners. House lawmakers included that money in their budget proposal, but the Senate did not.
Kentucky could soon begin charging a fee for multiple disabled parking placards. The state Senate passed House Bill 81 on Wednesday. The bill would charge $10 for a duplicate disabled parking placard. Disabled people can still get the first placard for free. Kentucky stopped charging fees for disabled parking placards in 2009. In 2008, the state had issued 32,000 placards. The next year, the state issued more than 209,000. Disability advocate David Allgood said the explosion in placard has made it difficult for disabled people to find parking. Republican Representative Jerry Miller, the bill's sponsor, said he so hopes the fee will cut down the number of placards issued. The House passed the bill earlier this month and now heads to Governor Matt Bevin's desk. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening area tonight, mostly clear skies with lows around 28, some widespread frost after 1 a.m. On Friday, that frost will go away by about 10, otherwise sunny, with a high near 49. On Friday night, increasing clouds with low around 31, and there's a 60% chance of rain that will become rain and snow mix and then snow overnight. New snow accumulation of half an inch possible. And on Saturday, that snow will turn back into rain in the morning, highs around 37, and a chance of precipitation is 100% with around an inch of snow accumulation possible. It's currently 42 degrees in Flemingsburg. It's 44 degrees in Lexington and Winchester. It's 48 in Ashland, 47 in Inez, and it's 44 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
On our feature segment today, the renovations to Morehead State's Adrian Doran University Center are nearing completion. WMKY's Jacob Lindberg reports.
The project will add nearly 80,000 square feet to the building's east side. Shayla Menville is Marketing and Communications Manager with MSU's Facilities Management.
So we are at 78% complete and still on track to have the final completion this fall, 2018, and we're very excited that nothing has delayed us too much. We've had obviously some rain, some cold spouts, but overall a mild winter, which has really kept us on track for the completion of this project.
The 2-year construction project is set to be complete in October. It should nearly double the size of the facility.
Right now, they are doing framing in the tower. You can see that if you drive by. They're really working on that new, the addition side, kind of framing that tower up, putting on roof blocking, doing some metal siding, and then, of course, they're working inside with ductwork and sprinkler piping and all of the conduit that kind of keeps that building running effectively for our students.
Menville says the state-funded $49 million project has remained on budget.
We are currently still on budget. We are looking at, now we're kind of shifting our focus on furniture and furnishings for the project. The project itself is completely on budget, and we are so appreciative of Sherman Carter Barnhart and Monarch Construction, who have teamed up to kind of work through all of the budget constraints that we have.
The remodeled ADUC will be a one-stop center for student services and dining, including eatery options like Steak and Shake, Starbucks, and Aramark brands. The Adrian Duran University Center has been renovated twice since its original opening in 1955. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
It's 4:46 and 44 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Ellen Barnett. And we're so glad that you've joined us on this chilly Thursday afternoon. Tilden Johnson has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 30 years. The Center for Gifted Studies is now accepting applications for middle and high school summer camps, including the 35th Annual Advanced Placement Summer Institute, June 25th through 29th. More information at 270-745-6323 or online at wku.edu/gifted.
The Cats are sweet, but are they elite? Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson. The Kentucky basketball team will try to take another step in this year's NCAA tournament when the Cats face Kansas State in Sweet 16 action at 9:37 in Atlanta. Coach John Calipari expects the Big Blue to have its hands full with a tough and gritty K-State bunch.
They're physical, they play hard, they'll fly, and then if they don't have it, they grind. You know, it's hard walking into a game like that. They lead their league in steals with the way they play, which is, you know, they cover that lane.
Thanks to a number of upsets, number 5 Kentucky is the highest seeded team left in the South Regional. While UK is 26-10 this season, Kansas State is 24-11. Kentucky averages over 70 points a game, but K-State has the nation's 20th best defensive team. Number 11 Loyola Chicago kicks off the Sweet 16 action tonight with their game against number 7 Nevada at 7:07. Loyola Chicago is tied for the lowest seed in the Sweet 16 with number 11 Syracuse, who faces off with Duke tomorrow. Number 7 Texas A&M is playing 3rd-ranked Michigan at 7:37, and 9th-ranked Florida State takes on number 4 Gonzaga tonight as well. That game tips off at 9:59. Morehead State basketball coach Preston Spradlin is losing an assistant coach. JT Burton is leaving after one season with the Eagles to become the new head coach at Division II Tusculum College. Burton will be officially introduced today. Spradlin thinks Burton will do well there, calling him a great relationship builder.
Our players really trusted him, and he did a nice job of keeping a good temperament with them, being stern with them and disciplined, but at the same time that the kids really knew that he cared about them. And he spent a lot of time with them off the floor, which is extremely important when you're trying to get the kids to trust you and buy into what you're doing on the floor. That the off the floor piece is very, very important.
Burton is a 20-year coaching veteran, including 7 seasons as a head coach. Dan Hurley became a hot commodity after coaching Rhode Island to 2 straight NCAA tournaments. Hurley left for a bigger name in New England basketball, UConn, a team that has won 4 NCAA titles in 20 years, but is under NCAA investigation involving bribery and just finished a 2nd straight losing season. UConn fired coach Kevin Ollie this month. Saying the Cardinals have an elite program, Louisville Athletic Director Vince Tyree says the school will hire a new coach that can lead them back to national prominence. Tyree says he's already heard from a lot of potential candidates who are interested in returning the U of L Hoops program to that lofty stature.
I think we're so close to it here at Louisville, in the community and at the university, that we're hypersensitive about our own issues. And I would tell you that the candidates see this as a long-term run. They don't see it as thinking about the next year or two, or very short-sighted. Most of them are thinking about this in a way that they're in a good spot, and they see this as a better spot.
Tyree announced yesterday that interim coach David Padgett will not be returning to the Cardinal program. Padgett replaced Rick Pitino just before the season started after Pitino was fired. Morehead State baseball coach Mike McGuire likes where his team is at right now. The Eagles start a three-game OVC series tomorrow at Eastern Kentucky, riding a six-game winning streak. A lot of that success can be traced to an MSU offense that is heating up. During the winning streak, McGuire's ball club has had 10 hits or more in each one of those games.
You can see, we're just getting a little better offensively, and we just need to keep doing that, and we're going to keep getting better, and we're going to get a shot in the arm when number 12 comes back, but we're becoming a good offense without him, and we're going to be even better when we get him back.
Number 12 is injured All-OVC outfielder Nico Holsizer, who last season hit 27 homers, the second-best total in the country. Cincinnati Reds general manager Dick Williams feels good about having locked third baseman Eugenio Suarez to a long-term deal with the club. In recently signing the 26-year-old Venezuelan into a 7-year, $66 million contract, Williams says the Reds have a secure cornerstone to build the team around.
This is one of the premier defenders in the league. At third base, he's established himself as one of the best young players in the league. And offensively, has only gotten better each year. He's an offensive force, defensive force, leader in the clubhouse. Say no more. He's a guy we want to be part of the team for the next 7 years.
Suarez last season hit .260 for the Reds, also slamming 26 homers and driving in 82 runs. And lastly in sports, after a 16-6 start to the season, the Morehead State softball team opens up the OVC portion of its schedule tomorrow at Austin Peay. Despite his ball club's hot start, Coach David Williams won't make any predictions about the Eagles' chances of winning a league championship.
I think our big thing is we want to finish as high as possible. We're focused on winning as many games we can, finishing high as possible, and really doing the best job we can do. I think we could be at the top. I mean, they're close to the top if we just play well and believe in ourselves and do what makes us successful.
The MSU softball team has two games tomorrow at Austin Peay and two more at Maury State on Sunday. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Softball begins OVC action this weekend against Austin Peay and Murray State, with games at noon and 2 p.m. both Saturday and Sunday. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. stocks fell sharply, pressured by worries of a potential trade war and also a decline in tech shares. The broader market was also pressured by a decline in bank stocks. And at the close, it was a very nasty final number. The Dow Industrials finished with a loss of 724.42 at 23,957.89. The S&P 500 was down 68.24 at 2643.69. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 178.61 at 7166.68. Selling intensified into the close, with the Dow losing more than 250 points in the final hour of trading. And earlier, the Trump administration unveiled tariffs designed to punish China for intellectual property theft, imposing about $60 billion in retaliatory charges. And equities have been under pressure recently as the Trump administration ramps up a protectionist trade agenda. And earlier this month, of course, Trump announced the implementation of tariffs on steel and aluminum imports, raising concerns about a potential trade war. The CBOE Volatility Index, widely considered the best gauge of fear in the market, rose above 22. And bank stocks were in particular pressure today as Treasury yields dropped. The Spider S&P Bank ETF fell 3.7%, while Citigroup, J.P. Morgan, and Bank of America all traded lower. The tech sector has been under pressure because of the sell-off in Facebook and the PowerShares QQQ trust, which tracks the tech-heavy NASDAQ 100 index, dropped 2.5%, breaking below its 50-day moving average, which is a key technical level. Google parent Alphabet fell 3.6% and dipped into correction territory, and tech companies are among the companies that could be in the crosshairs of a U.S.-China trade war. Facebook itself finished with a loss today of 2.7%. In the commodities markets, oil was down 1.4% at $64.25 an ounce, or a barrel, I should say, and gold was up 0.5% at $1,328.60 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were weak, with the Stock 600 index down 1.5%, and in Asia, stocks were down as well. In Shanghai, the Shanghai Composite finished with a loss of 0.5%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down 1.1%. Among Dow industrial stocks, all of the components of the Dow today finished lower. The worst performers were Caterpillar and Boeing. In the S&P 500, the best performers were PG&E and Ventas, while the worst performers were AbbVie and Acuity Brands. Turning now to stocks of local interest, is Ashland Global down $1.90 at $68.19, CSX down $1.61 at $55.29, AEP up 46 cents at $67.37, Marathon Petroleum down 27 cents at $72.94, AK Steel down 44 cents at $4.49, and Kroger was down 6 cents, finishing at $23.40. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Morehead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education, collaboration, and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Morehead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at moreheadstate.edu/innovation.
Taking one last look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening area. Tonight, mostly clear skies with lows around 28. On Friday, sunny with highs near 49. Increasing clouds on Friday night with a low around 31. There's going to be some rain turning to snow overnight with a half an inch of accumulation possible. On Saturday, it'll turn back into rain in the morning, highs near 37, with an round of an inch of snow accumulation possible. On Saturday night, there's a 100% chance of rain and snow showers, lows around 31, no accumulation expected. And looking at temperatures around the region, it is currently 42 degrees in Flemingsburg, 44 degrees in Lexington and Winchester, it's 48 in Ashland, 47 in Inez, and it's 44 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
Taking a look at some events coming up in our region, the Root Hunt Candies in Mount Sterling, Montgomery County Parks and Recreation will host the annual Easter in the Park on Saturday, March 24th at Easy Walker Park. Easter Bunny arrives at 12:45 and the egg hunt begins at 1 p.m. Parents should provide baskets for their children, and the rain date will be Sunday, March 25th.
And the Morehead chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness will meet at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, March 27th at the Pathways Building located at 325 Main Street in Morehead. Family, friends, and loved ones of people with mental illness, as well as people living with mental illness, are encouraged to attend.
The Rowland County Extension Office will host an educational program on beekeeping at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, April the 3rd. Tammy Horn from the Kentucky Department of Agriculture will be speaking on the spring hive maintenance. There's no cost to attend, but pre-registration is required by April 2nd. Call 784-5457. That's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Sean Delaney, Chaz Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, and Tilden Johnson. KNN's Haley Hansen and Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke. And our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Jacob Lindberg. This is Morehead State Public Radio. WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ellen Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.